All right. Yesterday we were talking about Scorpio and Pisces. I want to review this thing from the stars. We studied Psalm 19 about how the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament, etc. Well, let's go to Psalm 19. I'll just read real quick here, but I have to go. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech or tells the story. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language. Their voice is not heard. Their influence is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. He's talking about the zodiac. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the influence thereof. So that's got to make somebody think about the heavens. All right, so we're going to go back to Abraham. For 2,000 years approximately before Abraham, in all cultures, essentially, the bull was the symbol of the god, because that was in the age of Taurus. The bull was a symbol of Taurus. Each sign lasts 2,000 plus years. Remember, let me make one other point. We have a day of 24 hours. Our solar system's day is 26,800 years, because it's the time of the circuit for the polar star, for the axis of the Earth to go around to. There are four different stars that it goes around to. Right now we are in whatever the star's name. But so I want you to understand the word day. It's 26,800 plus years. The day for the known universe is several million, maybe billions of years old, because it's the time for that circuit to take place from our position. So the age that you're in all cultures is defined by the first constellation that appears on the morning, the night of the spring equinox. That's universal. So here's Abraham in his youth. There's the gods of Taurus is the main god. So, and all the gods have their symbols. And remember the temple where there were 500 gods, and then the chief god was Taurus, the man with the bull's head. He destroyed 499 of them with an axe handle, and then put the axe handle in the arms of Taurus. And for that, he was exiled. He was scheduled to be the next king of the world. Under the law then, if the king had no son, Nimrod had no son, the high priest, which was Terah, Abraham's father, would be the heir apparent. And so Abraham was scheduled to be the next heir apparent. And so here we have this. And see, he, as I said, he's the first one to define truth, because anything that changes with time can't be given any breath to. And so he saw it during his early years, that changed from Taurus to Aries. So he was born at the dawning of the age of Aries and the end of the age of Taurus. And after that, so again, all cultures changed their system, but it took many years. But he saw it. Now, 2,000 plus years later, they're at the end of the age of Aries and the dawning of the age of Pisces. And that defined point was about what we call 1 BC. It was the birth of Christ, was the dawning of the age of Pisces, just as the birth of Abraham was the dawning of the age of Aries. Now, that's why the Christians are called always Pisces. And the idea of the net, the fishermen, the net is in going to all the world. The world is a symbol of water. And the net is thrown. That's how they fished. And the fish that came out of the net then were given new life, a different life. But they had to die to come out of the water. So that's what this whole thing is about. Why the Ithacus was the symbol of the church. And the name Ichthus, or the letter, those letters for the Greek symbolize the age of Christ. Now right now, the age of Pisces, the next age is the age of Aquarius. But because it's the water pouring out, so there's some overlap between the two ages in the zodiac. And it could come at any time. So even if we're in the age, still in the age of Pisces, the age of Aquarius is already here simultaneous because it's this, they're both the same. And that's one of the few, I think the only sign of the zodiac that has that condition, where there's in effect two ages at the same time. And what it symbolizes is God waiting for his church to be perfected, not willing that any of us should perish. Because the age of Aquarius, you've all heard the song from Hare, the dawning of the age of Aquarius, love and understanding and peace. Well, that's true, but it's true because time shall be no more at the beginning of the age of Aquarius. Now, we've got thousands of tapes, I think, on this. Two times we've gone through it. If anybody's interested, is that on the internet?
Well, I wouldn't say thousands, but yeah.
We got several.
Some of them, yeah.
We got a few.
Yeah, a lot of, all the recent ones are up.
Okay.
And the older ones are, some of them are, right. I mean, some of them are digitized, they're not up yet.
How's the time of being no more at the dawning of the age of Aquarius? What
that That's because the fulfillment of the bride is the purpose of time and space.
And it takes place within this coming.
Well, it takes place when the bride, when the seventh angel stands and says their time is no longer. The bride is perfected. The mystery of God is complete.
Right, but why is that tied to Aquarius?
Because, well, we could go through in great detail what the age of Aquarius meant. It meant all these things of peace and understanding. There's no animosity between anybody. It's all gone. And that the only way that's going to happen isn't by having a heaven on earth. It's by the church being transformed or transfigured into the New Jerusalem.
So is that forecast in the stars that during this
yes.
age, churches?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. The overlap, it could happen at any time. But it was, even though the belief, and then everybody didn't know this, you know. All the believers at the wrote the New Testament thought that the time would end in their lifetime.
Yeah.
No, but, and then they were right; it could have. So now on to one other thing. This is about this age of Pisces. Among the ancient nations, Pisces was considered the most unfavorable of all of the 12 signs. Zodiacs describes its influence as malignant and interpreted with emblems as indicated of violence and death. The Syrians and the Egyptians, for the most part, did not eat fish from the dread and abhorrence associated with a fish in the zodiac. In the hieroglyphics of Egypt, a fish is a symbol of odiousness, dislike, and hatred. The true church attributes will always be odious to the world's value system. Humiliation, sacrifice, and self-denial are in direct opposition to mankind. Suffering, death, vulnerability, poverty are in conflict directly with the freedoms, enjoyment, passions of self-realization of mankind. So the age of Pisces itself symbolizes the true church, that it's abhorred, it's hated, it's et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what have we done with the church? Instead of that, the church has been co-opted by the world, so it's also just another instrument of self-realization. That's why it's so critical that you understand that suffering and being hated of all men is a natural occurrence. It's what's intended. As long as you don't murmur and complain about it, then the fiery serpents come. Does that make sense to anybody?
Totally good.
No, it's because you didn't come to all the Bible studies about it. You are correct, sir. All right, let's talk for a minute about the scorpion. Now, that's what we're really talking about. This is just brief thing on scorpion. Scorpio is obviously the sign of the scorpion. Now, if you look at it, there are three decans, the three sub-signs for each major sign of the zodiac. First, the first sub-sign is another serpent, serpents and scorpions. Another serpent is struggling with a man. The man is Ophiuchus. He's wrestling with the serpent, and he's stung in the heel, crushing the scorpion. Hercules, the mighty man wounded in heel, is shown kneeling and humbled in conflict, holding the tokens of victory, the golden apples, the three-headed dog of hell. His foot is on the head of the dragon. So it's the idea that you have dominion because of Christ's work over all of these things, so that there's no sudden fear shall even come upon you if you see an empty. Now that's fundamentally the meaning of Scorpio and Pisces. That's what we've talked about here, the scorpion and the serpent, and this, well, let's just review it now. In verse 11:11, Luke. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, what does that mean? It means then, the bottom line is, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You may be stung by the scorpion and bitten by the snake, but it has no effect on the spiritual man. It's going to hurt like hell. The scorpions, even I've been bitten by scorpions numerous times, but none of the ones that are obviously deadly, but we used to collect them and sell them. But anyway, that's another story.
Scorpions?
Huh?
Scorpions?
Scorpions.
Yeah, in some other countries, they eat them.
Well, anyhow, before I was rudely interrupted.
Quite a segue there.
The point of it is, the scorpion and the serpent indicate and the promise that there will be suffering. The signs of the zodiac and the promise of God. He doesn't say here that you're going to get what you asked for. He says he'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. So that does that give a little, because we always, our prayers always, fix me, heal me, make me whole, do this, do that. It's not going to happen. Wow. Remember the word heal, eonomai, in Greek means completely perfect. Not just healed of your boo-boo, no matter how serious it is. It means by him, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you have been perfected by that one offering. So don't let prayer confuse you. That's really what we've all been talking about. All right? What?
Let prayer confuse you?
Well, prayer, again, we just read it. Listen. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it's open. If the Son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What that means is, no matter what it is that's going on with you, physical, emotional, no matter what it is, the promise is that the Holy Spirit is given in your prayer. And the Holy Spirit's singular job is to reveal Christ. And he does it by causing you to see the only sin is unbelief in him. The only judgment is the prince of the world is judge, and the only righteousness is that Christ has gone to the Father. Does that make, to me, that makes it very simple. The problem with Pete and I is that we, and Jeff to a certain extent, you know, we get all these, we see all this stuff that these guys are doing that are just pure con men. And they're using half scriptures to justify their actions. And I just don't want you to stop believing in prayer because you don't get what you ask for. Prayer's purpose is to let the Holy Spirit come and reveal Christ in you. Amen? Well, I was going to talk. We've got some more scorpion scriptures to study, but I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have? Everybody understand? And can you understand a little bit better what Psalm 19 is talking about? The heavens declare the glory of God. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. Their line has gone out. Their influence is in all the world. There's no place and no person where that influence hasn't been. Their word hasn't been given. Now, the interesting thing is, if you read in Isaiah, that the stars shall no longer give their light. Well, that's what's happened. The light, it doesn't mean the stars are going black. It means the stars no longer give you, because we've lost this mystery for the most part, the stars no longer reveal anything to you except, oh, isn't that a pretty star? This is, you know, as we've talked about many times, the scriptures, the Torahs especially, the most important thing ever done, because it's the check to see whether what you're saying or doing is involved in this mystery. But the pyramid says the same thing. It's the only pyramid that there was nothing in it. There was no hieroglyphics. There was
no treasure.
Hmm? No treasure. No treasure. No nothing.
Yeah.
Except it reveals the mystery of Christ. In fact, it predicts his birth. It predicts the day of his baptism. And sort of, it's the same kind of sort of confusion. It predicts the day of his the end of time. Now, this isn't anything new. This isn't something I made up. But my point, things like this and things like, you know, I can never get over the Star of Bethlehem. Took 65 million years when that star supernova, for that brightness to reach Persia or the Magi, just in time to get them all prepared so that the whole tribe would travel all the way across the terrible desert to get to Bethlehem just before Jesus and Mary took Christ. How can you be concerned about your life if you abandon yourself? You have that same surety as the Star of Bethlehem. And that the government of God, the economy of God, is so perfect. There's nothing to compare it to. Don't let your mind screw with you. You got to get over that. Don't let your emotions lie to you. Abandon yourself. Pick up your cross, and you will follow him. Giving no thought for tomorrow. No thought for anything. There's an inertial guidance system within you that's guaranteed if you get out of the way. And the only way you get out of the way is by emptying, saying, I'm tired of doing all that crap. That's repentance. Even though all the billions of years of creation, your mind is stronger. Still, the only enemy of God in time and space. Please, please, please consider the majesty of this compared to the puniness of the little issues that you deal with. Take a big guy.